Thank you, Lord. Oof, this morning is going to be a good morning. Amen. It's different. It's different. Every week's different. Amen. You know, you get what you get. You come expecting sometimes even the unexpected. God is going to do a work in your life today. You don't know who I am, the crying pastor, the yelling pastor. The one that preaches with passion, because why not? My name is Pastor Harris, and I'm the lead pastor here at First Open Bible, and I'm so thankful that we're a family. Amen? We're family together. Family together. You know, you look better when you smile. You know that? Watching some, me too. Thank you. Yeah. There you go, Clifford. It's for you, Big Daddy. We're watching some music videos we do mostly every Sunday morning, and watching a Kirk Franklin song. It's hilarious. The video's funny. And it says, "You look better when you smile," right? And everybody's dancing. And they're just smiling real cheesy. But it's true. Church, whatever you are going through, you can still smile. You are free. You're free. The world cannot say that, because the world has not accepted what Jesus has done. But we have, and we're living in the truth. We can smile because we are free. Amen? Plus, you look better when you smile. Make sure you brush your teeth good. Hallelujah. Right? Friends don't let friends go around with something in their teeth. Hallelujah. Yeah. Tell your friend there is some salad in there. Get it out. We love you. Hallelujah. God's good. I love God. Amen. I am not the same person as I used to be. What about you? I'm not the same guy. My sister, she's here. She could tell you I'm not the same guy in high school. I'm not the same guy. I'm not even the same guy in college. I'm not the same guy. And it has nothing to do with me. It has everything to do with Christ in me. Right? Praise the Lord. And my wife's saying, and amen. In 10 years from now, you won't be the guy you are today. Right? No. Kind of. I don't know if my wife likes it when I was using her example, but I'm kind of using me as an example this morning. But I love the Lord, and I love that He transforms us. It's good to see you again. I loved worshiping with you. My wife and I and our two kids got back from vacation a couple weeks ago, and we had an awesome service last week. Amen. God gave us a powerful and liberating message. It was, 2 weeks not preaching, and that third week it was all pent up and it all came out, blah, right? And God gave us an incredible message. I hope you had a good 4th of July. Did you? If you did, say hallelujah. Hallelujah. Our family had a great 4th of July. It was a great time together. We hung out with some friends and family. We hung out and we just kind of relaxed most of the day. But God spoke to my wife last week from the sermon. If you ever wonder, I never tell my wife the sermon, you know. Yeah, I'm her husband, this is true, but it's kind of weird. I'm also her pastor, and I know that God gives not only the church a word, but also her a word. And just so you know, about 80% of the time, the words I'm preaching, you just get to hear it's for me anyway. Hallelujah. God gives me those words, and we just get to be a part of it together, and it's usually for me. But God really touched her heart from the sermon last week when she heard it. And she said, we need to do something with our kids to tell them about freedom, to tell them about honor and respect. And I totally agreed with her. So what we did on the 4th of July is we walked in. First thing we did is got ready, right? Brush our teeth because we look better when we smile. And we got up and we went to Hy-Vee. And we got a few things, some snacks and stuff. But we also got like 10 or 12, I can't remember how many, 11 carnations, red, white, and blue carnations. And we bought those, and then we went to Cedar Memorial. And we drove there in the morning, and what we did was we looked for the flags, right? And we went to the gravesite, and we made sure that on the flag, where the flag was, that it said something on their gravestone there that they were a part of the military. And we said, okay, and you know, I have a 2-year-old daughter and a 5-year-old son. And we said, so-and-so, thank you for your service. and then we placed a carnation on their gravesite. And we went around and did that to every single one until we ran out of flowers. Why did we do that? Because God's word says in Proverbs to train up your kids in a way of the Lord. And if you do, when they get old, they will not depart from it. So you can never go wrong with teaching your kids respect and the price of freedom. Amen? I mean, I say that today to encourage you. Kids, neighbors, friends, whoever. Be the example to show them that you remember the price that was paid. You remember the price of freedom. Because freedom is never free. Amen? It never has been and it never will be. See, I love the memorial of the cross. Because of the cross that Jesus took, that allows us the opportunity in our life for complete freedom. Amen? All right, quick question. Who likes being confronted when they're wrong, right? Can I get a amen? Who likes it, right? Nobody, right? Because if you raise your hand, I'm going to say that's a lie. And then you're confronted, then you don't like it, and you're in church, and then you're back with all of us, right? Nobody likes being confronted when they're wrong. But guess what? Currently in the Western Christianity, we like to push heavy on prosperity, but we don't push heavy on holiness. We don't like it when people get into our business, right? Get out of our business. Oh, I don't know if you're going to like that. Amen right now. But hey, that's real. It's real. It's true. See, it's hard for us at times to hear somebody get real with us and speak truth to us, right? It's hard. Like, whoa, hold on a second. But if we stop preaching the complete gospel of Jesus Christ, people will never be completely released from the chains that easily entangles them. They'll never be released from the chains that enslave them. How do I know that? Hebrews 12, 1 and 2 says this. Therefore, since we were surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything. Can you say everything? That hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance. Say perseverance. The race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and the perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endures the cross, scorning its shame, and sat at the right hand of the throne of God. That is a powerful two verses in God's word. Listen, let me break it down. Because Jesus endured the cross, and then he made shame now worthless, we need to take off everything that hinders us. Take off the sin that easily entangles us so we can run with determination and dedication in the life we now live. And it should be a life of complete freedom. I'm preaching better than your amen in today. We got to live a life of freedom. Amen, amen. So the Apostle Paul, he said something many, many, many years ago. And I'd like to repeat him this morning. I pray that I have held to the best of my ability this standard in my life as the lead pastor here at First Open Bible. Acts 20, verses 20 and 21 say this. I never shrank back from telling you what you needed to hear, either publicly or privately in your homes. I've had one message for the Jews and the Greeks alike. There's a necessity of repenting from sin and turning to God and having faith in our Lord Jesus. I'm going to continue that mentality today. God has given us a great word of freedom today. 1 John 8 through 10 says, if we claim we have no sin, we're only fooling ourselves and not living in the truth. But, right? If we confess our sins to him, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and cleanse us from all wickedness. If we claim we have not sinned, we're calling God a liar. Ooh. Showing that his word has no place in our hearts. See, this is not an easy message to preach today. It's not a fun one. It's not about prosperity. It's not about follow God and everything's going to be dandy, because it will not. But everything will be right. And everything will be free. You can be free. See, the conviction of our sins from the Holy Spirit, this is an expression of God's mercy. It leads us to forgiveness, which then leads us to freedom. Right? So before we get into it, I'm going to say a prayer. I'm going to pray with all of us today that the Holy Spirit would do this. He would convict our hearts of our sin, convict our hearts of our rebellion, convict our hearts of our pride, and we can confess it and ask for forgiveness and then turn from it so God can truly set us free. Let's pray. You agree with me in this prayer? I want you to do one of two things, either stand or raise your hands to receive. Let's pray together. Thank you, Father. Thank you for your Son, Jesus, that died on the cross for all of our sickness, that we can be healed completely and whole. All of our shame is broken. And God, that there is no power over sin or even death itself. Holy Spirit, I ask that right now in this room, that you bring a conviction to our hearts of the things that don't look like you, and don't act like you, don't sound like you. And I ask that right now that you open up our hearts to receive. Each and every person in here today that is standing or raising their hands has agreed to allow you to come in and do your work. Lord, I just ask for a complete freedom this morning. I want to say I'm sorry for the things that I've done. Lord, that we're sorry for the things that we've made it. I'm sorry that I've shut you off so long in some areas of my life that I don't even consider it sin anymore. Open my heart and open my eyes and open my spirit to the truth, because the truth will set us free. And we do this in the name, with all the power, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. See, in faith, church, we can take hold of freedom. Whew. You remember last week? We talked about Jesus sets us free for some awesome stuff. He sets us free from guilt, shame, God's wrath, the fear of death, the bondage of sin, the curse of the law, from legalism, and from Satan's dominion. He frees us of that. And because of that freedom, what are we able to do? We can approach God boldly. We are children of His, and now we're joint heirs with Christ. We're free to live out God's purpose in our life. And free to one day enter the gates of heaven. John 8:36 says, "So if the Son sets you free, you are truly free." This is all true. This is all true. This is all true. It's in God's word. But, there needs to be action on our part for that to happen. See, it's in your participation where you're going to find your liberation. Luke 24, 46 and 47. And he said, "Yes, it is written long ago that the Messiah would suffer and die, and raised from the dead on the third day. It was also written that this message would be proclaimed in the authority of his name to all the nations, beginning in Jerusalem. And listen, church, there is forgiveness of sins for all who repent. Just like I told my wife that I loved her on our wedding day, I keep telling her that I love her. Same reason that you told God that you repented on the day of your salvation is the same reason why you still need to repent today. It's not a one and done deal. If that were true, why would you have to pick up your cross daily? Why would you have to die daily? Why would your life represent a living sacrifice? Repentance may not be a popular subject to preach on. Amen, pastors in here, right? Ooh, I can't wait to preach on repentance. Everyone's going to love me today. No disrespect, but all I want, I just want God to love me, and I must follow what he says. I want him to be proud of me. Repentance may not be popular, but it is surely important. Repentance is a main ingredient of faith. So repentance literally means this: to turn or return. It means to turn from evil and return to God. True repentance leads a person to say this: I have sinned and I need forgiveness. Repentance requires true brokenness. Church, think real quick. When's the last time you came to church broken? Like just broken. I mean, not like you're full of shame and like, oh, I got nothing to give. So broken of the things that you've done that you're so free that you can come to him and know, guess what? I can lay this down and I don't have to pick it up again. When's the last time you came to God's church here together, worshiping with God's people together, and you came broken? Think about it. Repentance is not asking the Lord for forgiveness with the intent to sin again. That is basically reaching into the blood of God and reaching out and pulling your sin right back out of it. He already washed it. Right? Oh, I need that back. We forget what grace is for sometimes. It's not a license to sin. It's a license to never have to sin again. Don't ask for forgiveness if your intention is just to do it again later. See, man might look at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. He knows your heart. You could put on the nicest suit you have, but deep down there might be chains in here. And hide it as much as you want. God knows where the chains are. He knows where your bondage is. And you can come trying to raise your hand as much as you want, but you got to be set free. You got to break that bondage so you can truly be free to worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Repentance is an honest, regretful acknowledgement of sin with a commitment to change. Repentance leads us to seek godliness. That in turn helps us get rid of our ungodly habits that lead us to sin. Luke 5, 31 and 32 says, Jesus answered them, "Healthy people don't need a doctor." Come on, we got some sick people in here today. I'm not just talking about physical ailments. I know some of y'all sick. That's fine. He could set you free from that too. He's more concerned about your heart than he is your outward appearance in your body, right? Let him heal you there and then heal you there. Amen? We got some sick people in here today. This is time to be honest. Raise your hand if you're sick spiritually. Through your honesty, God's going to honor that today. Some of y'all don't want to even raise your hand. You're going to get what you expect. If you didn't get something today, you didn't get set free today, it's not God's fault. It never has been and it never will be. His arms are wide and open. It's you that has to run into them. Woo. God, you're good. See, healthy people don't need a doctor. Sick people do. Luke 5, now the next verse in 32. I have come, this is Jesus, to call not those who think they are righteous, but those who know they are sinners and they need to repent. Come on, every day is right. Now, I love this verse, Acts 3, 19. Repent! Repent! Everyone say repent. Repent. Repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out. I love that, but this is what's cool. Once that happens, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord. Who needs to be refreshed this morning? Right? Come on, somebody. Who needs to be refreshed this morning? Hallelujah. Man, everybody who did that, you got to repent. That's how you get it. Repent from what? Repent from what? See, we may live so much into the world. We may turn on the news. We may be engulfed with whoever we work with. We might not have any Christians that we're around. We might not be ironing, sharpening iron. There may be times that we're influenced so greatly that we forget what sin actually is. Just being born in America alone does not help us know what right and wrong are. Because we're taught that your right might be my wrong, but we can't talk about it. Right? I don't want a disagreement. You're going to offend me. The Bible offends your flesh, and it should. This is not politically correct. Hallelujah. Nobody likes politics anyway. Sheesh. Repent from what? Well, from sin, selfishness, and pride. Here's a big one. In thinking you can do anything without God. Told you God's got a word today. Can't even stand up here today without the power of God. I didn't write this down. God gave this word to you through me. So humbling. Oh, may never be about me, Lord. So I was studying this week about sins and breaking God's laws and his commandments and going against the things that he says is right and wrong. And in my studies, the Old Testament has over 500 different listings of sins that you can break God's laws in not being holy in your living. We're going to list those all this morning. Just joking. Oh, that would be horrible. Read it for yourself. Old Testament takes up most of your Bible. Okay? All right. The New Testament. It lists 67 different sins that I could find. I won't be listing those all either, but I want to remind you that there's a lot of stuff in there that tells you right and wrong. If you don't know if you should do it or not, read God's word. I'm pretty sure it's going to be in there. Amen? God's word says what sin is. I want to give one example in Scripture. Will you open your Bibles to Galatians 5? There are so many definitions of sin. See, Jesus breaks it down. It's not only the action that you do, right? Yeah, you didn't sleep with that girl over there. You're right. You know, because that's a sin. That's adultery, right? You're not married to her. But you did sleep with her in your heart. So you've already done the act. That's sin itself. Jesus transformed what we would think in the Old Testament, what sin was. Sin is more than just action, guys. It's more. It's more. It's your heart, it's your intentions, it's your mind. That's why you're transformed by the renewing of your mind, because our hearts are evil. That's what the word says. Corrupt and evil. Your heart in its nature is broken and evil. That's why we have to invite Jesus into our heart. He's got to change us. He's got to live in there more than I do. There's so many things in God's word that talks to us about what sin is. I'm just going to read one example this morning. Galatians 5, verses 19, 20, and 21. Reading from NLT this morning. When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. Everyone say clear. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. Let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. That is pretty black and white, right? And most pastors cannot wait to get up on a Sunday morning and say, all right, all you jealous people, if you don't change and ask God to forgive your heart, according to this verse, you're not going to heaven. You're not inheriting the kingdom of God because your heart is wicked. Jealous people, quarreling people, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition. See, we forget because in the Western Christianity that when you give your life to Jesus, it's not about you anymore. It's not. That's all this is. It's all about us. Well, I feel like doing that, so I'm going to do that today. Well, nobody's holding me accountable because I've hushed the Holy Spirit so long I can't hear him. I'm going to do whatever I want to do today. Now, this is simple. I'm going to put it simple this morning by God's word. What is sin? Simply this. If you're taking notes, write this verse down. This verse is so incredible. James 4:17. Say James 4:17. You said it, now you're accountable to it. Hallelujah. Remember, it is sin to know what you ought to do and then not do it. God says, go pray with that person over there. You said, I can't do it. I'm too afraid. Sin. Whew. God says, volunteer for this. God says, go over here. God says, give up smoking. God says, do this, do that, don't do this, don't do that. God convicts your heart. He speaks to you. Not because he's mad at you, because he loves you so much that he knows you're not living free. Stop talking like that. Stop cussing. Stop saying rude things. Stop gossiping. Stop doing these things. And if you know the right thing to do and you keep doing it, you are sinning. I am guilty of this. Give me, Lord. My job as a pastor is not to condemn you. Job is to preach truth. To preach God's word with love and with passion. The Holy Spirit's job is to reveal God's word to us. Reveals it. And he convicts us of our sins. And he does it for a reason. To turn back to God so you can live free. 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 You can live free, church. Free. Thing that happened to you when you were a child that you hold on to and it affects everything in your life. God can set you free this morning. He loves you. He speaks to you. And he's speaking to you today and he says, if you will come to me and repent, give me your heart and all that anger and all that unforgiveness that you've held on to and you lay it at my feet, you will not have to pick it up. You will pick up my love. You'll pick up my joy. You'll pick up my freedom. And you will go and tell the world the good news of Jesus. And you'll do what I died for. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. One of the greatest things that can ever happen for a pastor, I think Pastor Stevens can agree with this, Pastor Helmuth, Neil Gale, anybody, One of the greatest things is to see the people that God has placed in their care. Understand that, right? Every day I think about you and pray for you because you're in my care. God has placed me in this position to think about you, pray for you, and to help you in every avenue I can. That what God has called me to. One of the greatest things is to see those people live free, live full, and live out their calling. And I pray that for each and every one of you today. That's why I am preaching truth today. So how can you live like that? How can you live free, full, and live out your calling? Comes from one of the most amazing claims in the history of man. One of the most amazing claims that you will ever hear in the history of man. Jesus makes a promise that he can set the captive free. He can set people free. Incredible. Many of us right now can picture someone we know that struggles on the daily to break free from some ungodly chain. Many ungodly chains may be identified in this list. Immoral addictions. They have fear. They're full of fear. Well, you know, that's not from God. That is not a God of fear. Full of greed, full of worldliness, full of doubt, full of anger, full of bitterness, full of legalism, full of racism. Jesus died for the Jews and the Greeks. We're all going to worship in heaven together. Why would we ever have prejudice in here? Why would you have racism? I don't care how you grew up. I don't care where you came from. I don't care what your daddy tried to pass to you. That is not of God. It's not of God. Never will be. Never ever will be. Some chains could be insecurity, despair, and depression. They're chains. But the Bible teaches us that all men are in chains. See, we can see those things. Those are visible. But God's word says all men fall short of the glory of God. All men are in chains, right? So when you're thinking you're better than someone else, how's that plank doing? Right? You're knocking stuff over on the walls, right? Trying to set the table and you're breaking things, right? I'm referring to, the Bible says, you look at a speck in someone's eye when you have a big old plank in yours. Doesn't matter what category you can classify the slavery. The result is the same. It's a failure to express the abundant life promised by following Jesus Christ. John 8:36, we say it, so if the Son sets you free, you are truly free. See, there's a difference, church, of a free child of God and a bound slave who thinks they're free. Big difference. Jesus speaks to a group of people in John chapter 8. These people have dedicated themselves to the Lord, and they believe that they're free. Jesus 8, 31 through 36 says this. Jesus said to the people who believed in him, "You are truly my disciples if you remain faithful to my teachings. And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." But we are descendants of Abraham. What are they saying? AKA, we're God's children. What are you saying, Jesus? We're church people. They said, "We've never been slaves to anyone. What do you mean? You will be set free?" Jesus replied with this, "I tell you the truth, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. A slave is not a permanent member of the family, but a son is part of the family forever. So if the Son sets you free, you are truly free. Jesus is proclaiming something here. Freedom. It's not from individual sins, right? A lot of time we strive just to do better. I got to do better, right? I'm smoking now. I don't know why I'm using that. Somebody in here is smoking and you'd be set free today. That's what that is. Somebody's smoking. I'm going to be better. I'm going to smoke not two packs a day. I'm going to smoke one, right? I'm a little more free today, right? I'm not bound by that, you know, that cigarette, that nicotine. And no, I'm going to do better. I'm going to smoke half a pack today. No, I'm going to smoke one pack a week. I'm getting better and better. I'm getting more free. That's what we think. See, so many times we strive over and over and over again by what we're doing, but when Jesus offers freedom, he offers it in a different sense. He offers it from the nature of sin that enslaves all people. It's not just your individual things you do wrong. He breaks sin at the core, the nature of it. That's why people can truly say, I have repented today. I know God touched my life, and I have a pack of cigarettes, and I'm coming up, and I place it at the altar, and I'm truly repented after what I've done, and they'll never smoke again. The nature of God is miracles. It's his nature. It's an everyday occurrence with him. Sarah's papa did that very thing at a Billy Graham crusade. Walked up, Christian man, even worked in the church. One of the deacons, I think, placed it in the trash, never smoked again. That one day. 80-some years old. Jesus clearly declares that freedom is possible. The sad reality is many do not experience it. Even people who are dedicated to the Lord, just like in John chapter 8. Amen. It's okay, baby. I'm preaching too loud, aren't I? Right? Here's four quick reasons why people will not experience God's real freedom. Four real quick ones. Number one is ignorance. Some people, remember, note, I don't see many heads going down. History makers are note takers. Right? Hallelujah. Why? Because I guarantee this. I guarantee it. And I'm going to jump right off this little bandwagon I get on. You, unless you go online, are going to forget 75 to 80% of what I said today. What God told you today through God's word. That's why you write it down. How do I know that? Because my brain is ADHD. And if I don't write it down, I'm going to remember what that person was wearing, what that guy did, and how the kids cried and all this stuff. And I'm like, oh, I'm in church. Whoa. How long have I been sitting here, right? Right? That person got something in their teeth. Four quick reasons why people won't experience the real, true freedom of Jesus. Number one is ignorance. Some people live in darkness because they truly have never heard the good news of Jesus Christ. They've never heard it. They're ignorant to it. Well, not yet. Because God's sending a church. Right? I mean, that's the Great Commission. Number two, arrogance. Many are unwilling to admit that they need God. Many think they can do it on their own. I'm just fine. We have a lot of that in America because we have plenty. We have an overabundance. And we think we're doing just fine without God. You have because of God. Even if you don't know him. Because you live in a country founded on God. You don't believe it? And then get real news, right? None of that fake news. Wait, I think I've heard that before. A lot. Unfortunately, it's pretty true. So number three, reluctance. Many recognize they have a need for Christ, but they're unwilling to surrender to him. In many cases, this is what Revelation says, you are lukewarm. Oh, I have a need for Christ, I'm just unwilling to do anything about it. We lived in the South. Oh, I'm a Christian. Bleepity bleep bleep. Hallelujah. I got to go out for a smoke break, go drinking after work. Bleepity bleep. I can't wait to go to church on Sunday. Right? Where's your freedom? How do you live any different than anybody in this office? Right? Many may recognize they need Jesus, but they're unwilling to surrender to what he says to do. Number four, last one, complacency. They often say, a little bit of freedom is better than no freedom at all. I'm free enough, and that's okay with me. When you do that, and when you say that, you don't have to say it out loud, you say it in your heart, and you say it with your actions. What you're doing is you're denying the true, full power of why Christ took the cross and rose from the grave. They deny the true, full power of complete freedom, and they accept just a portion of it. But I'm here today to preach God's good news. I'm here to say truth to you today. And I want to give you honest truth this morning, and I want to say this. To all those living in bondage, Jesus offers you freedom. Come. Come and repent, for the kingdom is near. Come and repent from your sins. Come and repent and be set free. Come and repent through God's grace and his mercy, and you will live like you've never lived before. You will live the way that Jesus died. He lived free. He was set free. The world needs you to be free. Not the kind of freedom that the world says is free. See, true freedom is not about changing our outward circumstances. Well, not at first. Not at first. You remember the day you got saved, right? You still kind of acted the same, but you felt different, didn't you? Then all of a sudden, the next week comes around and you do that same act that you've always done, and all of a sudden, it doesn't feel right anymore. Or you said that one thing and something in your heart goes, ooh, that didn't sit right. And it wasn't that bad lunch I just had from the microwave that I shouldn't be eating with 400% of my sodium for the day, right? Something's a little different in me. Jesus finds you in your mess. And he frees you from it. That's why all are welcome to come to the cross. It is not for a select few. Jesus died to set all free, that not one shall perish. Not one. Jesus can free you wherever you are. Before I conclude this morning, I want to give you a few examples if you don't believe me. See, a lot of times we read about biblical examples and we're like, oh, they're heroes of the Bible. They're just as much of a screw-up as we are. Sometimes they're worse. They're misfits that God called and they followed, and that's how they became a hero. They didn't give in. Paul was on the road to Damascus, persecuting and killing Christians. And then he was set free. The prodigal son was in a pig pen, broke, homeless, and hopeless. Peter was on a boat, right? For all those people that love to work, fishing, working, 6 days a week, because he probably took off the Sabbath. 6 days a week, day and night, night and day, always working like he always has done, and Jesus came, set him free. One woman was drawing water at the well, just doing her everyday activities, and then met Jesus. Another woman found freedom when she was caught in adultery. And lastly, but definitely not least, there was a thief on a cross dying. In some of his last breaths, he recognized who he was and he repented. Think about me when you go into paradise. Don't you worry, by the end of today, you will be with me. I just set you free because you recognized and you repented. Whew. True freedom starts at spiritual freedom, and it's not dependent on our physical circumstances or our bondages. Jesus can set you free in your marriage without ever causing a divorce. Jesus can set you free from your over-withdrawn bank account without ever making a deposit. Jesus can set you free from your past or your current failures without loading up another U-Haul and running off and trying to run away from it. God can set you free. Please do not misunderstand what I'm trying to say this morning. Christ leads us to make some physical and circumstantial changes in our lives. He does. He wants you to live different. He separated you and set you apart. When you repent and confess your sins to the Lord, it is a cleansing of sins. It says it washes you as white as snow. Love covers a multitude of sins. What this does is help you be less vulnerable to temptation and sin. When you repent, you are now less vulnerable to temptation and sin. When you face a battle and you go toe-to-toe with it and you said, I'm not going to do it anymore. When you do that, all of a sudden that bully don't have the power he did anymore. Especially when he sees Jesus right behind you going, that's right. You want some of this, right? We can go rounds. It's only going to take me one punch. Father, ding that bell. It's game time. Come on now. Jesus works from the inside out because of freedom he brings in your life. There will be changes in your life. The main truth about divine freedom is Jesus is more concerned by setting your soul free than just defeating the eternal forces in your life that are causing you to fall short. He wants to set your soul free. Why? Because one long ago, we were walking in fellowship with the Almighty God. Sin hindered that relationship by enslaving us and separating us from a life of God. Worship team, can you come forward, please? Romans 6, 6 and 7. Please focus on me. They're coming. They do every week. Same people usually, so they look like they just saw them about, 30, 40 minutes ago. Romans 6, 6 and 7. If God really touched your heart, some of their makeup's messed up, so hallelujah, right? Pretty soon, God's going to touch this church so much, mascara's going to be outlawed because it's going to be messed up anyway, right? And all you guys are looking pretty, all that guy liner be gone too, hallelujah. Romans 6, 6 and 7, that's a whole other subject for another day. We know that our old sinful selves were crucified with Christ, so that sin might lose its power in our lives. We are no longer slaves to sin. For when we died with Christ, we were set free from the power of sin. Hallelujah. Christ is the only one who can set us free. He's the only one. He's the way, the truth, and the life. So if you want to enjoy life as a child of God, instead of living as a slave to this world, I invite you this morning to come and repent. I invite you to come with an honest heart. I don't care how long you've warmed a seat in church. This is a relationship between you and the Almighty, the one that died for you. So what do you have to do? Do five things. Number one, accept your sin. Accept it. You can lie to other people. You can even lie to yourself. But you can never lie to God. Why? Because he sees your heart and he sees your motives. Put on all the nice clothes you want. God sees the heart. Number two, trust God in your heart. You must believe that God can forgive you. And not only that, he can help you live a complete life of true freedom. We'll say it again. Freedom is not a license to sin. Freedom is a license that you never have to sin again. I knew that was coming. I felt it. Knew that was coming. Jay, I saw you before you even did that, brother. Saw you. God showed me. Free, sir. Free. Free indeed. Mm. Hallelujah. Ooh. You picked something else up when you left, buddy. Pick something else up. Number one, accept your sin. Number two, trust God in your heart. Number three, think about what you have done. Think about the sins you have committed or the lifestyle you have been living that does not honor God. Number four, confess and repent. You must understand why you are repenting. You are not repenting so God can love you more. That's an impossibility. He already loves you perfectly. You are repenting to set yourself free from sin. And to live a life of freedom so you can honor God with your life. And lastly, number five. This is for everyone in here, but Jay, this is also for you. Thank God and go and sin no more. Through God's power, He has now forgave you so you can live free. So what do you do when that happens? When somebody gives you something that you could never pay for, what do? You do the only thing you can do. You thank them. You thank them for forgiving you, and remember, you are a child of God and you are no longer a slave to sin. So live like it, because you can. Will you stand with me, church? Will you lower the lights, please? I want to read God's word here before we go today. What I love about this beautiful altar is it's big. It's big. Make space. It's big. And you know what I love about God? He's big. There's always enough room for everyone. I want to read you a chapter in Psalm. It's Psalm 32. David recognized, right? Before Jesus even came, he was waiting for the Messiah. I love David. He is probably one of my absolute favorites, right? On a Sunday morning when I'm worshiping, I'm thinking, David worshiped all out. Why can I not? It's not about the person to the left or right. I don't care what you think about my dancing. Yeah. Sometimes I got two left feet. Sometimes I can get it. And I'm going to get it for the Lord. And I'm going to worship Him. Because David danced unabandoned before the Lord. Because David understood who he was. And he understood that he didn't care what anybody else thought. See, David loved God with all his heart. And he wrote something incredible here. Because he was a man after God's own heart. And I desire to be a man after God's own heart. There's something I can accomplish when I live. Yes, I want to be a great husband, a great daddy. Yes, I want to be a great pastor and a great friend. I want to be a mentor. I want to be these things. But if I could just be one thing, I would love to be a man after God's own heart. Because I know if I am, all those will happen. Psalm 32 says this, church. Oh, what a joy for those whose disobedience is forgiven. For sin is put out of sight. Yes, what joy for those whose record the Lord has cleared of guilt, whose lives are lived in complete honesty. When I refused to confess my sin, my body washed away and I groaned all day and night. There's people in here that cry and regret what they've said or done every night, but God says you can be set free. Verse 4, day and night your hand of discipline was heavy on me. My strength evaporated like water in the summer heat. Finally, I confessed all my sins to you and stopped trying to hide my guilt. I said to myself, I will confess my rebellion to the Lord, and you forgave me. All my guilt is gone. Therefore, let all the godly pray to you while there is still time. Pray to God while there's still time. It's running out, church. Let all the godly pray to you while there's still time, that they may not drown in the floodwaters of judgment. For you are my hiding place. You protect me from my trouble. You surround me with songs of victory. The Lord says, I will guide you along the best path for your life. I will advise you and watch over you. Do not be like the senseless horse or mule that needs a bit or bridle to keep it under control. Many sorrows will come to the wicked, but unfailing love surrounds those who trust the Lord. So, rejoice in the Lord and be glad, all you who obey him. Shout for joy, all whose hearts are pure. God is calling forth this church right now. These people, everyone in here today, God's children, First Open Bible guests, everyone. God invites you to come today to repent. To come to repent of the things that you've said and done. Confess the sins that you've done. Confess the heart that you've had and say, God, I need to be set free. I am broken before you and I want to pick up joy. I want to pick up power. I want to pick up my freedom because I don't live free. And only through my confession and through my obedience to the commands that you've given me, that's how I can be free. And I come to you today. Church, I'm going to pray. And this altar is open. This whole area is open. And if you are physically able and God has touched your heart, you must come. I know I say make an altar where you're at, but see, I think a lot of times we just get complacent and we're like, yeah, this is a good place because nobody can see me. It's not about them anyway. Who cares if somebody sees you? This is about the Father, and he's inviting you to come up. He's inviting you to lay something down so you can pick it up. That might not be popular, but there was something that happened many years ago where there was altar calls and people flooded the altar and worlds were changed. Countries were changed. People were set free. There's something about understanding that God is calling us forth. And we got to do an action with what we believe. I'm going to pray and I'm going to invite you to do what God has called you to do. But this is a day that the Lord has made and you will be free and free indeed. But you have to do something. Your liberation comes from your participation. Holy Spirit, thank you that you have your way in here right now as we honor you. God, will you forgive? Will you forgive us, Lord? Will you forgive me, Lord, of the things that you've called me to do and I didn't do it? Will you forgive me and everyone else here? God, forgive us of our rebellion and our pride and our selfishness, God, because I want to live for you and I know they want to live for you, God. And as we come to you and we lay something down this morning, God, we ask that we could pick something else up. I thank you for the bondage of cigarettes and nicotine be broken in the name of Jesus. I thank you for the bondage of alcohol and drinking be broken in the name of Jesus. I thank you right now for unforgiveness and rebellion and anger be broken in the name of Jesus. I thank you for a life that we live about ourselves, that can be broken, that we can be selfless instead of selfish, God. Break it right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, each and every heart in here today that is open to receive, God, may you come right now and fill them. We love you. We believe in you. You are the God of freedom. Set the captive free, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.